Good morning. Welcome to St. John Lutheran Church and Christian Preschool. So glad you're here today. Glad we could worship together. Hope you learned something this last week. Last Sunday, when we did the blessing of the backpacks, we passed out little slips of papers to all the kids that had my name is, and then this week a wise person said to me blank. And we asked the kids to write in something they heard someone say to them, a wise person say to them, and I got my first one back. It was from Graham, and Graham said, this week a wise person said to me, do your best. Somebody is teaching him well. So, speaking of teaching, we're beginning a new year of confirmation and Sunday school, and we want to install our teachers. So I'd like to invite all of you to take out the insert in your bulletin for the installation of teachers, and then I'd like to have all of our teachers come forward, please. Come on up. Yep, you can stay down there, and that's good. All right. Well, actually, first, why don't you face the congregation, okay? And I'm just going to, Lydia, give you this mic. Just pass it down first. Just tell us your name. Tell us what you're teaching this year.
Lydia Johnson, third and fourth grade.
Marcia DeVore, all fifth graders.
Cindy Hines, I'll be doing kindergarten.
Hannah DeVore, and I'm helping with A grade.
All right, excellent. All right, you can turn and face me now. Well, teachers, thank you so much. Are you teaching too?
No.
Oh, all right. Thank you so much for accepting God's call to fan the flames of the light of Christ in us and in our children. Congregation, that's your part. So then, teachers, with the help of the Holy Spirit and empowered by God's gracious love, do you accept the responsibility to use your gifts to teach the Word of God and to encourage faith in Christ? Will you remember those whom you are teaching and discipling in your prayers?
I will, with the help of God.
Congregation, will you support our teachers and keep them in your prayers?
We will support them in prayer.
Let's pray. Most gracious God, you have blessed your church with many gifted people. We ask your blessing on our teachers. May their words be your words. May their hands be your hands. May their hearts be filled with your compassion and love. Give them insight through your Holy Spirit so that your church and the gospel message we proclaim will thrive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can turn and face the congregation again, and let's thank them for their service as teachers. All right, speaking of teaching and learning, yeah, you guys can go. Melanie, our music director, has selected for us a new setting of the liturgy from the hymnal, and so we're going to be starting to learn that today. Melanie is going to be the leader, so like on the Kyrie, it's a little hard to tell. There's some parts that are not bold and some parts that are bold. We do the bold parts, okay? Melanie is going to sing the leader parts. You don't want me to do it. Okay? So anyway, relax, have fun with it. It'll take a little time. And remember, I want you to stand, greet your neighbors, and say this to them, do your best. Stand and greet your neighbors and tell them, do your best. And you can remain standing as we sing our gathering hymn number 733. It is a new season. Fall is here, and so today we will be using the pumpkin spice communion wafers. Just kidding. Not really. But have you ever wondered why, you know, we don't switch it up once in a while for communion? Maybe have like potato chips and pop. You know, it's always bread and grape juice or wine, which is fermented grape juice, by the way. Why do we do the same thing all the time? Well, because the short answer is because Jesus said so. We do it because Jesus told us to eat bread and drink wine in order to remember him. In fact, the reason we even do communion is because Jesus told us to do it. This is his meal. He is the host. He decides the menu. And every time we gather for this meal, he shows up. He's with us to remind us that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all. please join me as we pray together the prayer of the day. O God, overflowing with mercy and compassion, you lead back to yourself all those who go astray. Preserve your people in your loving care, that we may reject whatever is contrary to you and may follow all things that sustain our life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And you may be seated for the reading.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 17. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
All right. Well, at this time, I would like to invite forward all of the three-year-olds and any other new students beginning Sunday school at St. John and the seventh graders who are entering confirmation. So come on up and bring a parent or caregiver with you.
Welcome back to the baptismal font. We gather here again to remember the promises God made to you and the promises your parents made to God at your baptism. As you enter this new part of the journey of faith together, we want you to know that parents are the most important faith formers in the lives of their children. We, as your congregation, want to welcome you to Sunday school and to confirmation, promising to support you as together you grow in faith.
In the waters of your baptism, God named you and claimed you as a child of God. God promised to forgive your sins and to give you eternal life. That means that you are loved now and forever.
Moms and dads, you made promises to God on behalf of your children to bring them to worship, to teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the Ten Commandments, to place in their hands the Holy Scriptures, and to provide for their instruction in the Christian faith. Do you recommit to keeping these promises? If so, answer, we do. So, to mark this milestone for the preschoolers, we are giving a stone, since it's their first milestone, with a cross on it.
All right, and I am giving a copy of Luther's Catechism to those starting confirmation. Okay, and now, confirmation students, please place in your parents' hands the small catechism. Give it to your dad. There you go. Committing to study and learn together the basics of faith and to grow in faith in Christ together.
And as a memento of the milestone for confirmation, we have a glow-in-the-dark pen that says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path."
to remind you of God, and if the electricity goes out, you can still find your pen.
Parents, at baptism, your congregation promised to welcome your child into the Lord's family as a fellow member of the body of Christ, child of the same Heavenly Father, and to support you in raising this child faithfully. And in Christian education, your congregation joins you in keeping these promises. Do you, who are members of St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, agree to support these youth and their parents as together we journey in faith? If so, answer, we do.
Let's pray. God, you have claimed these children of yours in the waters of holy baptism. Help us to walk with them, to pray for them, to support them on this part of their faith journey. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you turn around and face the congregation and let's celebrate with them this big day, starting Sunday school and starting confirmation. All right, so it's time for the children's sermon. It's up to you. You can stay or you can go. But everybody else is invited. All the kids are invited to come forward for the children's sermon now. And as they come up, let's sing Children of the Heavenly Father, one verse. Guys, I don't know. Is it me? Everybody keeps sitting farther and farther away from me. I'm glad you're here. Anyway, wherever you sit. Thanks so much for coming up. Have you guys ever lost anything? Yeah? What have you lost? What have you lost? Ooh, money from Christmas. What, anybody else? Have you ever lost? What have you lost? Necklaces. Yeah, it's kind of a bummer, right? What'd you lose? Your notebook. Oh, yeah, and it's a pain, right? When you lose something, it makes you sad, right? And it's gone. Well, I lost something too. I lost a coin. Somehow, my coin got out of the coin purse, and now it's lost. I don't know. Look, there you go. That's what it looks like. Has anybody seen it? You have one like that too? Wow. Well, but I'm looking for my coin, and I'm not sure how to get it back. I was just thinking maybe if I just open up the coin purse and just ask it to come home, maybe it'll just like run and jump into the coin purse. Should we try it? Let's try it. On the count of three, everybody yell, "Quarter, come home." Okay, ready? One, two, three. Quarter, come home. I don't think I heard the congregation do it. Let's try that again. One, two, three. Quarter, come home. Oh, it didn't work, did it? Okay, I got another idea. How about I put up missing posters everywhere? Okay, and then maybe my coin will see that I'm looking for it. It'll realize, oh no, I bet he's really sad that I'm lost and gone, and then the quarter will come back. Do you think? You think that'll work? You don't look too sure, Cooper. You don't think it's gonna work? I know. I think coins like chocolate. It just so happens I have a chocolate coin right here. Maybe I can bribe the coin into coming back. Here, coiny, 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 coiny. I got some nice chocolate for you. Here, coiny, 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 coiny. What's that? You don't think it's gonna work? Oh, man. How am I going to get my coin to come back to me?
Try to find another one.
I don't want another one. I want that one. But do you think maybe the coin, can the coin come back to me on its own? No, I'm going to have to go get it, right? I'm going to have to go find it. All right, well, I'll leave those there. You watch my coin purse, and I'm going to go look. It's over there? Where?
By her.
By her? Why do you say that? Because I keep looking that direction? Is it over there? I see a lot of chocolate over here. I know. There it is! Woohoo! Look! I found my coin! Woo! Come on, celebrate with me! Woo! Yeah, you guys are really good celebrators. Yeah. I got my coin back. Yes! And I'm going to put it right back in my coin purse. So here's the thing. That's exactly how it is with us and God. See, sometimes we get lost and separated from God, and there's no way we can come back to God on our own. But that's okay, because God always comes to find us. Always comes to find us. We have a word for that in the church. It's called grace. Everybody say it with me. Grace. Grace is when we get lost, but God comes to find us. And when God gets us, God is really happy. And God and God's friends all celebrate. What's your happy move? Do you have a happy move, a happy dance? What do you do when you're happy? Like, woo, woo. Everybody do it with me. Woo, woo. Oh, you guys got to wake up. Woo, woo, woo. There you go. All right, who's got a happy move? Nothing? What do you do when you're happy? Right? Do you like stir the pot? Woo! Like that? Nothing? Okay. How about just yes? Okay? No, you don't do that either. All right. What's that?
Floss.
I can't floss. I don't know. I think I've demonstrated that. So, all right. But okay. Well, we can floss. Okay. Something like that. Okay. All right, well, tell you what, I want to celebrate by giving all of you chocolate today, okay? So first, let's pray. Everybody, bow your heads, fold your hands, repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for grace. Amen. And thank you guys for coming up. You can go right over here and see Kim, and she'll give you chocolate. And let's stand for the gospel acclamation. Bad for the first time out. It's not complete mumbling, so good job. Stick with it. The Holy Gospel today is written in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable: which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it?
When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord. And you may be seated.
So I pay $5 for a 2-hour movie and then realize that my flight is only 90 minutes long. I mean, come on!
So tired. I think I slept too much.
Honey, the fridge is full.
Babe, my coffee mug is too tall for the Keurig.
What am I supposed to do with my leftover chicken fajitas?
I'm hungry, but I'm not, like, hungry.
Not hungry. I don't even know if I'm hungry. It's 11 o'clock, and I don't know whether to eat breakfast or lunch.
I think I'm hungry. I hate watching Blu-rays on this TV. It looks too real. I'm not even hungry.
My phone is 4G, but we don't have 4G coverage where we live, so it's the worst. It's the worst.
No! Oh! I clicked restart instead of shut down. I have to wait for it to start back up again so I can shut it down.
I hate it. I'm, like, too healthy. I never get to use any of my sick days.
Closet full of clothes, nothing to wear.
My white noise machine broke last night, and I didn't get any sleep.
There's nothing to watch.
There is nothing to watch.
The bottom of my foot has been itching all day, but it tickles when I scratch it.
I didn't finish brushing my teeth this morning. My battery died halfway through. I hate that.
My hair smells like Starbucks.
My hand smells like Starbucks.
My iPad smells like Starbucks.
That's the worst. I lost it.
Just shoot me.
Wasn't I just chewing gum? I don't remember spitting it out.
Sleeves.
Grumbling and complaining. We all do it. Now, I just want to make very clear from the beginning of this sermon that I am not talking about you in particular, okay? I am talking about all of us, and especially me, okay? Right? We all do it, whether it's verbally or mentally, we all grumble and complain sometimes. In fact, I decided to do some research for the sermon this week, and I decided I was going to go 24 hours without verbally or mentally complaining. And I got to tell you, the first hour I did really, really well. And then I had to get out of bed. It was kind of downhill after that. No, actually, the morning was good. I was at work. Things were fine. It was all positive. And then I came home for lunch, and I got the mail, and there was a letter from my bank telling me that my credit card had been compromised, and so they were going to be canceling my credit card and issuing a new one, which sets off a whole domino effect of inconveniences that now I have to deal with. And so I kind of started grumbling a little bit before I even realized it. And then my phone dinged and I got a text from my sister who was upset about something and she was complaining to me about it. And then my phone rang and it was my friend. That's not him. He's not actually a Lego. But my friend called and he was complaining and grumbling about some stuff. And before I knew it, I was grumbling and complaining too. 24 hours without verbally or mentally complaining. Ha! I barely made it 4 hours. How do you think you would do? Try it. But make sure you let somebody else know you're doing it because they need to keep you accountable. We do it more than we realize. Jesus encounters today some grumbling and complaining scribes and Pharisees. They're grumbling because they think that Jesus is hanging out with the wrong people, when in fact he's doing exactly what he had come to do, share the good news with everybody.
Pastor and writer Art Ross wrote, "Grumbling is a national pastime, even a universal one. We grumble about political leadership unless the leader is our person, then we grumble about the opposition. We grumble about the actions and morals of the current younger generation. In the church, liberals grumble about conservatives, conservatives grumble about liberals, and moderates grumble about both. Grumbling is a reminder of sin, for sin occurs when God's children are not in harmony with creation and with their Creator. Grumbling and complaining is a sign of sin." Art Ross wrote that 12 years ago. Okay, hasn't gotten any better since, I don't think. But come on, admit it. Grumbling, complaining, it feels good, doesn't it? It feels good to complain. During vacation Bible school this last summer, we had the kids, we were teaching them about the Israelites and about how they were set free from slavery in Egypt, and how after they were set free, they wandered in the wilderness, and while they were wandering in the wilderness, they grumbled and they complained. And so one of the activities was the hallway out here was the wilderness, and the kids were walking up and down the hallway and they were grumbling and complaining, and I happened to be there when one of the crews came by, and so I joined in with them. I just started saying, "No, it's too hot. I don't like the food. It was better before." And I realized that all of a sudden I felt like this surge of adrenaline going through my body. And I said to the teacher standing next to me, I said, "Complaining feels good." And she said, "Yeah, it does." You know, and we tell ourselves that this is good for us, that it makes us feel better, when in fact there is a mountain of research. Study after study shows that complaining actually is bad for your brain, it's bad for your mood, it's bad for your listener's mood, and it's bad for your body. We tell ourselves that it's good to vent and to let off steam and complain and get it out, but what the studies show again and again is that actually when we regularly vent and complain, it rewires your brain to focus on the negative. We train our brains to see the bad and to miss the good. They also have discovered that when two people are talking about what they don't like, the longer they talk about what they don't like, the more unhappy they both become. Wow. Complaining and grumbling are destructive to ourselves and to the people around us, and yet we do it. Now, I'm not talking about standing up for yourself and saying, "No, there's nothing wrong with that." And I'm not talking about constructive criticism or problem solving because you're positively seeking solutions. And I'm definitely not talking about, you know, sharing with your spouse at the end of a hard day. I mean, that's okay to share that stuff. I mean, to a point, right? I'm talking about plain old complaining with no intention or interest in helping to find a solution. This is what was happening in the gospel reading today. Some of God's people were complaining about Jesus and what he was doing, and it was destructive. It was destructive to the ministry he was doing. It was destructive to their relationship with Jesus. It was destructive to the community. Here is Jesus. I mean, here he is. The Messiah is here. He's sharing the good news with everyone. People are responding, even people who don't normally go for that stuff. Jesus went to the people who couldn't go to him. He's showing them God's grace. God was doing something new and exciting and different. And what's the response of God's people? Grumbling and complaining. You know, I have heard that that kind of thing even happens in the church.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I don't know who sets the worship center temperature, but why does it have to be so cold?
Why do you have to be so right? Heated chairs are now being installed.
This one wants a small church, but I'm afraid if it's too small, they're going to make me volunteer like crazy. And I don't stack chairs, do I?
Makes total sense. Join now and we'll let you decide the size of our church.
Okay, I'm not going to grumble or complain. I don't know why that just started doing that.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I don't know who sets the worship center temperature, but why does it have to be so cold?
Why do you have to be so right? Heated chairs are now being installed.
This one wants a small church, but I'm afraid if it's too small, they're going to make me volunteer like crazy. And I don't stack chairs, do I?
Makes total sense. Join now and we'll let you decide the size of our church.
We're millennials, and we want a church that...
Say no more. Any requests you have will be granted immediately.
Parking is horrible. It takes me almost 6 minutes to get from my car to the building. Ugh.
It's going to take me 6 seconds to tell you a valet service is on the way.
My pastor's preaching, it's all over the map. I say, oh, I don't know, stick with the books of the Bible. We should be only exegetical.
Okay, next week we start John chapter 1, verse 1. And we'll even start pronouncing that word the way you said it.
Hey, I'd like this sermon to be no longer than 30 minutes.
How does 15 minutes sound?
Hey, anybody willing to go 15 should be willing to go to 10.
You drive a hard bargain. But from now on, 5-minute sermons it is.
Now you're talking.
Me Church, where it's all about you.
Imagine what it would be like if everybody got exactly what they wanted. Why, that would be the perfect church, wouldn't it? If you find it, let me know. I want to join that church, right? There has never been a church in the history of Christendom where everybody got exactly what they wanted. I saw this cartoon this week. It made me chuckle. You look at the church, everybody's sitting in these big, overstuffed couches, you know, relaxing, and one parishioner says to the other parishioner, "The leather pews are nice, but what's a guy have to do to get a fresh cup of coffee around here?" Right? It's always something, right? It just doesn't work if we're all focusing on what we want. So instead, we focus on what Jesus wants. And what Jesus wants is for us to share the good news with everybody. And that's what Jesus was doing, and yet the Pharisees and scribes are grumbling about it. So Jesus' response, he tells them two stories. He tells them two parables, one about a shepherd who finds his sheep, and then there is celebration, and another one about a woman who finds her coin, and then there is celebration. And Jesus makes it clear to them that the response to the good news is not grumbling and complaining. The appropriate response to the good news is celebration. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I need to hear that. I need to be reminded of that sometimes. Believe me, I come from a long line of grumblers and complainers, and I need to be reminded that when I'm grumbling and complaining, I am missing out on the good news. At the 2014 National Slam Poetry Semifinals, Rudy Francisco performed his original poem called Complainers.
So, the following are true stories. May 26, 2003, Aaron Ralston was hiking. A boulder fell on his right hand. He waited 4 days, then he amputated his own arm with a pocket knife. On New Year's Eve, a woman who was bungee jumping in Zimbabwe, the cord broke. She then fell into a river and had to swim back to land in crocodile-infested waters with a broken collarbone. Claire Champlin was smashed in the face by a 5-pound watermelon being propelled by a slingshot. Matthew Brobus was hit by a javelin. David Striegel was punched in the mouth by a kangaroo. The most amazing part of these stories is when asked about the experience, they all smiled, shrugged, and said, "I guess things could have been worse. So go ahead. Tell me that you're having a bad day. Tell me about the traffic. Tell me about your boss. Tell me about the job you've been trying to quit for the past 4 years. Tell me the morning is a townhouse burning to the ground. Tell me the snooze button is a fire extinguisher. Tell me the alarm clock stole the keys to your smile, drove it in at 7 a.m. and the crash totaled your happiness. Tell me how how blessed are we to have tragedy so small it can fit on the tips of our tongues. You see, when Evan lost his legs, he was speechless. When my cousin was assaulted, she didn't speak for 48 hours. When my uncle was murdered, we had to send out a search party to find my father's voice. Most people have no idea that tragedy and silence have the exact same address. When your day is a museum of disappointments hanging from events that were outside of your control. When you find yourself flailing in an ocean of why is this happening to me? When it feels like your guardian angel put in his 2-week notice 2 months ago and just decided not to tell you. When it feels like God is a babysitter that's always on the phone. When you get punched in the esophagus by a fistful of life. Remember that every year 2 million people die of dehydration. So it doesn't matter if the glass is half full or half empty. There's water in the cup. Drink that and stop complaining. You see, muscle. You see, muscle is created by repeatedly lifting things that have been designed to weigh us down. So when your shoulders feel heavy, stand up straight, lift your chin, call it exercise. Remember that life is a gym membership with a really complicated cancellation policy. Remember that you will survive. Remember, things could be worse. Remember, we are never, ever given anything that we can't handle. When the world crumbles around you, you have to look at the wreckage and then build a new one out of all the pieces that are still here. Remember, you are still here. The human heart beats approximately 4,000 times per hour, and each pulse, each throb, each palpitation is a trophy engraved with the words, "You are still alive. You are still alive. Act like it."
Yes. You are still alive. We are alive. Not only are we physically alive on this earth, but we are spiritually alive in Christ. Let's act like it. In case you have forgotten or have never heard the good news, I want you to know that because of Jesus, you are completely forgiven. Because of Jesus, you know that you are loved unconditionally. Because of Jesus, you are never alone. No matter how much it feels like it, you are never alone. Because of Jesus, you have new life when this one is done. Because of Jesus, we wind up together in the end. Because of Jesus, you can change. Because of Jesus, you don't have to find God. God finds you. All of that is grace. And it's the good news that we proclaim in Christ Jesus. When you're tempted to grumble and to complain, remember instead to give thanks for the good news in Christ and to celebrate. It feels so much better, and it's good for you. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing. Our next hymn is number 588. let's proclaim together what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord God, we repent for all the times we point out other people's shortcomings and fail to see our own. And Lord, we repent for missing the good news because we were too busy complaining. Open our hearts and our minds to your grace and make us grateful for this life and this ministry that we get to share with each other. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of hope and strength, we pray that you would be with all who are in need. We remember today especially Betty Manning, Ron Myers, Lori Haft, Jack Holbert, Mike Lau, Sandra Link, Dan Carey. We pray for all who still suffer from the effects of the events of 9/11 and be with all those who grieve. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for first responders and all who keep us safe. We also ask that you would be with those who are on active duty in the armed services and their families. We especially pray for Alex Binger, Kim Hall, and Robson Shanklin. We lift up before you now the names of those others who are on our hearts as we name them before you now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. We all say, Amen. And you may be seated as we continue with the offering. Thank you. invite you to join me as we pray the offertory prayer. O Lord our God, maker of all things, through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made, for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we remember how in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And we pray together the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As I said, Jesus is the host of this meal, and he invites everybody to come forward to receive it. We have both wine and grape juice. The grape juice is white and in the center of the tray of cups. We have gluten-free wafers on both sides of the sanctuary. Just let the server know you want gluten-free, and we'll give that to you. Anyone who is not communing today is welcome to come forward to receive a blessing. This is the food of God for the people of God. Come and experience God's grace. All is ready. You may be seated.